discover the inherent power of God in you.
Whether there are challenges or not, we are still the same. We are constant. God is constant. God does not change. And that is the life that we have received. He says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is the same life we have also received. We are also the same yesterday, today, and forever. What kind of life? We are the same because we have the same life with Christ. So when you think about God, think about you. Because everything He is, that is why He told Abraham, He said, I am your exceeding great reward. God gave Himself as a reward to Abraham. And we are the seed of Abraham. Therefore, we have inherited God Himself.
Listen to Pastor Oti Boateng as Christ is magnified.
Father, we are grateful, we are thankful for this opportunity. Thank you for your love and your kindness. Thank you for your glory that is working in our lives. Thank you that you speak to us practically this morning. Bring us your word with clarity to your glory, even in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Wow. I want to share with you on benefits of living in the consciousness of the love, of the Father's love. Benefits of living in the consciousness of the Father's love. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Benefits of living in the consciousness of the Father's love. What a blessing. I've been sharing with you, I don't know if you remember, but it's been a while, but I was sharing with you concerning the Father's love. I remember sharing on the love, the goal, the love, the grace, the fellowship, if you remember. Some months ago, yeah, and I wanted to share with you, or rather I was being led to share with you about the benefits of being conscious of the Father's love. The grace of God, or the love of God rather, gives us the grace of God, and the grace of God gives us the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God leads us into the love of the Father and the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So it's like a perfect circle. Do you see? So, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Look at 2 Corinthians 13, 11. This is the grace, 13, 14. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.
Amen.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, the grace is from the Lord Jesus Christ. The love is from God the Father. Then it says, and the fellowship is from the Spirit. Now, it actually works from the love. Everything starts from the love of the Father. John 3:16. What does it say? That He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So it starts from God's love. Because of how much God loves us, He gives us His Son, Jesus Christ, isn't it? And Jesus Christ is the grace of God embodied. Jesus Christ is the grace, is the embodiment of the grace of God. It's good to see you. Welcome back. Jesus is the embodiment of the grace of God. God's love allows Him to give us Jesus Christ, right? Hello? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Who is the begotten Son? God. Jesus. Now, who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is the grace of God. Okay? Jesus Christ is the grace of God. John chapter 1, verse 14 and verse 16. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. He's talking about Jesus Christ being the Word of God. He says, the Word of God dwelt amongst us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, is full of something. What He's full of is grace, and He's full of truth. He's full of reality. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is the expression of the grace of God. What is the grace of God? The grace of God is the goodness of God that you don't deserve. The grace of God is the love of God towards you that you don't deserve. The grace of God is benefit from the goodness of God. The goodness of God was very far away from us. Because we were sinners. The Bible says that for the wages of sin is what?
Yeah.
So if you are a sinner, what do you deserve?
Yeah.
But Jesus came to take our place. to take the death for us so that we can have life. Are you in the church or have gone home? Jesus came to take our place so that we can take his place. He came to take our place of death so that we can take his place of life. The art of him taking our place of death in order for us to have a place of life is called grace. Hallelujah. Yes. So there's been a divine exchange. Now we are in Jesus' place because he took our place. And we are not in his place because of our good works. Okay? Jesus did not become a sinner. If you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, the Bible says that, "For God has made Jesus, for he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin." Jesus did not become sin by sinning. The Bible says that Jesus did no sin. Isn't it? The Bible also says that he knew no sin. The Bible says that in him there was no sin. Jesus himself said that, "Which one of you convinces me of sin?" Yeah. Jesus said, "The prince of this world comes and he has nothing in me." Have you read your Bible or you've not read your Bible before? It's like, I'm wondering if what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying. Yeah. So Jesus did not become sin because he did sin. He didn't do any sin. Yeah. Jesus did no sin. He knew no sin. In him was no sin. You see, but he was made a sinner. He became sin. Because that was God's desire. That was God's will for him to be made sin. Do you see? For what purpose? So that we will be made the righteousness of God. So which we didn't do anything righteous. We didn't do anything nice. We didn't do anything good. We didn't do anything beautiful. But God says that we are now his righteousness. So that's why our righteousness is not based on in the place of the Son of God. And what that means is that God is now your father. Hey. Say, "God is now my father." That is very wild. Yes, God is now your father. And that is why Jesus came to introduce the fatherhood of God to us. Do you see? That was why Jesus came, to let us know that God is now our father. Can you imagine? If God is your father, what does it mean to you? Does it mean anything to you? Or it means nothing to you? It means that now you can also ask, and the Father will also hear you and answer your prayers. Jesus asked for 5 loaves and 2 fishes to be multiplied, and it multiplied. So you can ask for your small money to multiply, and it will multiply. I don't know why you said the A, whether it's an A of believing or an A of A. I'm shocked. It's wild. That's the truth. The little can now become much when it touches your hands, because you are now in the same place as Jesus occupies. Yeah. We are now in the same place as Jesus occupies. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You are now in the same place. It's called Son Place. We are now in the same place as Jesus occupied. So devils respond to you not because you are some powerful guy, but because of where you occupy. You are now in the position of Christ, because he took your position of being a sinner. Now you are in his position of being the righteousness of God. Are you in the church? Righteousness probably is the biggest thing you can find in the New Testament. Okay? We are in some place. I'm in some place. Say it like you mean it. I'm in some place. Galatians 4:4. "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." Next verse. "To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." You see, he says he brought redemption. Redemption means to buy back what was lost. He uses blood to buy us from the slave market of sin. And because he did that, this is what Jesus did. It's called the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yeah, I mean, a sinner now being called righteous. Hey, that is allowed because the righteous was called a sinner. Jesus, who is the righteousness of God, was made to be sin. If that is legal, then making the sinner righteous is also legal. Because the righteous was made a sinner by God. So if God makes the sinner righteous, it is also legal. That's what God did. This is what happened on the cross. On the cross, Jesus was made sin so that you will be made the righteousness of God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Can we read it together? Let's read a lighter version. NLT. Can we read it together? One to go. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in a spirit. Are you seeing it? Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners so that he can bring you safely home to God. That's what Jesus did. It's called the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Yeah. The one who never sinned. The King James says it very nice. It says, the just for the unjust. Can you show us the King James? Always you have to come back to the King James. It says, for Christ also has once suffered for sins. He's not going to suffer again. He has once suffered for sins. The just for the unjust. So the just one or the righteous one suffered for sins for the unjust. Do you see? Yes. So if God punished the righteous as a sinner, then he can let the sinner go as righteous. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So if you think you're a sinner here, you're the one God has made righteous. Amazingly. You accept Jesus Christ, the Lord, the personal Savior, you become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that means that you are now seated in the place of sonship. That's what I'm reading to you in Galatians chapter 4. Okay? At a price. And the price that was used to pay for your being bought back is the blood of Jesus. Look at, go, keep your finger here. Go to Romans chapter 3, verse 24. You know Romans 3, 23. But you don't know Romans 3, 24. And you don't know Romans 3, 22. That's a problem. You've used Romans 3, 23 for many years. Show us 23. You don't know before and after. You just pick this one and that's it. You have run away with it. Hey, for all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. Amen.
Amen.
It's not a full stop. There's no amen after it. It looks very powerful. There's no. Is there a full stop? What is there? What does that mean? When you see a semicolon, what does that mean? It says something in addition to it, to this, right? That is explaining it. Hey. Every time when you are leading prayer, the first thing you say, shall we begin to confess our sins, for all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. Offside song. Hey. Go to verse 22. Okay, let's go to 20. So that you can understand what is going on. Can we read NKJV? NKJV. It says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, say but now.
But now.
The righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. There's something called the righteousness of God. He says, now that has been made available. He spoke about the righteousness that comes by the law in the verse before this. Maybe you didn't notice. Can we go back to verse 20? Therefore, by the doings of the law, or by obeying the law, no flesh will be made righteous. The word justified is made righteous. Will be made righteous in the sight of God. Why? For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law gives you the knowledge of sin. You will sin more if you try to live by the law. That's what the Bible says. I'm not the one saying it. The Bible says that the strength of sin is the law. So if you want sin to be strengthened, then go by the law. That's in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52, I believe. 1 Corinthians 15, 56. Go to 56. Look at this. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. So what strengthens sin? The law. Am I the one saying? Is it not in the Bible? What is the strength of sin?
The law.
So the more you try to live by the law, you try to, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt, the more sinful you become. You strengthen sin against you. Sin is strengthened against you when you try to live by the law. Yes. So he says, by the doings of the law, no flesh shall be justified or made righteous in God's sight. Why? Because the knowledge of the law, by the law, is the knowledge of sin. The law gives you the knowledge of sin. And the law strengthens sin. Empowers sin against you. Then he says, because that is not possible, you can't be made righteous by the law. So instead of the righteousness that comes by doing the law, which is also there, there's a righteousness that comes by doing the law, which nobody can get. Because by the time you are doing the law, you are becoming more of a sinner. He says, God has dealt, put that one away and has made another one available. You don't like that one? He says, this righteousness, he says, but now the righteousness of God, this one is called the righteousness of God. And it is apart from the law. It has nothing to do with the law. It's revealed. God has brought it now. And it is spoken of, being witnessed by the law. The law of Moses, the law spoke about it. And the prophets also spoke about it. I don't know if you remember when Jesus was had the transfiguration. Do you remember the transfiguration? At the transfiguration, Jesus was changed into glory. The Bible says that his dress was shining as white as snow. And there was Moses by his right, and then, I don't know whether right or left, but Moses was on one side, and Elijah was on the other side. And they were talking about what he should accomplish in Jerusalem through his death. Okay? I think the one in Luke talks about, it says, they were talking about his decease, which he should accomplish in Jerusalem. Can you show me that one? Next verse. Next verse, verse 30. It says, and behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah. Next verse. Who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. They were talking about Jesus' death that he was going to accomplish. What his death was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Are you seeing it?
Yeah.
Now, Moses is a representation of the law. The five books of Moses. Have you heard of five books of Moses? What are the five books of Moses? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What are the five books of Moses? Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Isn't it? That is an encapsulation of the law. The five books. It's called the laws of Moses. Okay? So Moses represents the law. Elijah was the head of the prophets. You know Elijah was the head of the prophets, right? There were the sons of the prophets, the school of the prophets, and Elijah was the chief. So Elijah is a representation of all the prophets. So at the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus had Moses, which is the law, and Elijah, which is the prophets, speaking about his death and what his death would accomplish. Do you get it or you don't get it? So that is what is written in Romans 3, verse 22. It's the same thing. It says, even the righteousness of God. No, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed. Being spoken of, being witnessed by means to be spoken of. Being spoken of by the law, Moses, and by the prophets, Elijah. Do you get it? So they appeared because the law and the prophets spoke about something. What they spoke about was about Jesus Christ and what he was going to accomplish, and how what he will accomplish will bring the righteousness of God, which is by faith and not by the law. Hallelujah. Beautiful. It says, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Next, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is through faith in Jesus Christ. Have you believed in Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
If you believed in Jesus Christ, you have something. You have the righteousness of God. You are now the righteousness of God. You are now in the place where Jesus occupies. It says, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And this righteousness, which is through faith in Jesus Christ, is to all and upon all who believe. Anyone who believes gets it. Why? Why is it that anyone who believes gets it? Because there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. They are all the same. Why? Because all of them have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Have you seen where all this verse is coming from?
Yeah.
He's saying that the righteousness of God is for all who believe. Why? Because there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Because all of them have sinned and all of them have fallen short of the glory of God. That is why it is for them. Next verse. You see? So then he says, being now justified or being made righteous by his grace through the... What did I say? Being justified or made righteous freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. Are you seeing where it comes from? Or you are not seeing it? Yes. So redemption is free, but it was paid for. Go back to verse 24. Be all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, now that we are justified or made righteous freely, we are made righteous freely by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, through the buying back. Someone paid for it. Jesus paid with his blood. He paid with his blood. So the next verse shows us that he paid with his blood. Next verse, it says that whom God set forth to be as a propitiation. The word propitiation is mercy seat. The word propitiation means mercy seat. Mercy seat. And the mercy seat is a representation of God's forgiveness to humanity. Under the mercy seat was found the law, the Ten Commandments, that's the law. It had Aaron's rod that budded. Then it had a golden pot that had manna in it, representing the three major areas where Israel disobeyed God. When God gave them the law, the first day the law came, they had broken the very first commandment. Meanwhile, they said that they will obey all of it. The first day the law came, they disobeyed it. So they disobeyed God's commands. Do you see? Then there was Aaron's rod that bore fruits overnight before the presence of God. It was put in the Ark of Covenant, and the Ark of Covenant had the mercy seat on top of it. That represents man's rejection of God's authority in the Ark, before the Ark. And overnight, Aaron's rod budded and bore fruit overnight, showing that he's the one that God has chosen. So that represents man's rejection of God's authority. Then there was a golden pot that had manna in it. It was also kept inside the Ark of Covenant. That also represents man's rejection of God's provision. God gave them manna. They said, what is this manna? We don't like manna. Give us meat. So all that is in the Ark of Covenant represents man's disobedience, man's wickedness. Yet God puts the mercy seat upon it. And whenever God sees blood on the mercy seat, he says to Israel, you are free. I'm your guy. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to supply for you. I'm going to be there for you. Are you in the church? You have gone home. So Jesus Christ has become the mercy seat for us. Because of Jesus Christ, all our disobedience has been taken care of. He contains all our disobedience so that our disobedience will not be seen by God. Are you in the church? Yeah. So go back to Romans. It says that Romans 3 verse 25, whom God, Jesus has been set by God as our propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. God is righteous in making the sinner righteous because he punished the righteous for the sin of the sinner. Oh, what a blessing. So, we are now the righteousness of God. And because we are now the righteousness of God, we are in the place of the Son. Okay, so go back to that place in Galatians chapter 4. We are in verse 5, right? To redeem them that, I just used this to explain redeem. The redemption is there's a price for it. Jesus paid for it and gave us freely, righteousness freely. to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive something called the adoption of sons. The word adoption of sons is euthasia. It's one word. Adoption of sons is one word. Euthasia. Okay? Euthasia. Say euthasia. And it means the place of sonship. Okay? That adoption here does not mean the adoption we know in our time, where a man takes somebody who is not his child and makes him his child. That's not what it means. This one has to do with someone who is your child becoming a king. The day the prince is crowned, that day the child has come to, he has been adopted, he's now seated on the throne. It's a place of maturity, the place of reigning, the place of blessings, which is the place Jesus occupied before the foundations of the earth. And Jesus, God decided that you and I should be in that place as well. So God gave us that opportunity through Jesus' blood for us to come to that place. So as you are sitting here, you are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And what that means is that you are now in the place of the Son of God. You are now in the place of sonship. Oh, I thought you'd be happier than you are now. Then he says in the next verse, he says, and because you are sons, look at verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, God, because we are sons of God, God has sent His Spirit into our hearts for the purpose of helping us know that God is our Father and God is our Daddy. The word Abba is the most intimate way you can call God. Calling God Daddy. The Holy Spirit is educating our spirits to call God Father. God is your Daddy now. That's the ministry of the Spirit. The ministry of the Spirit is to let you know that God is your Father. God is your Daddy. God is your Daddy. If God is my Daddy, what? The question is, what can't I do? What can't I have? Where can't I go? I mean, depending on who your natural father is, okay, a lot of things can happen or not happen. Is it true? Some of us have not traveled out of this country before, simply because our father can, it doesn't work. I'm going home. I don't think you like my message. It's just because our father, our natural father, it doesn't work.
The day is not there.
And it's not. I mean, you can't fight it. Yeah. I know a small boy. He's traveled all around the world so many, because his father, that's what his father does. So he just moves around. Hey! It's wild. Who your father is determines how the experiences you will have. Is it true or is it not true? Ask your neighbor, what has your father done for you? Yes, we have to thank God we have a heavenly father.
Thank you, Lord.
Because, Charlie, I know someone whose father died. When the father died, there was no place for discussion of inheritance, because there's nothing to inherit. There's nothing to inherit. There's no house to inherit. There's no car to inherit. There's nothing to inherit. And I know someone whose father died and he got 5 houses. When his father died, he became a millionaire. He had an account with $2 million in it and 5 houses, some in Ghana, some abroad. Yeah. I tell you, I know a man who left 25 houses when he died. 25 houses. Split amongst 4 children. Yeah. I tell you. And all the houses are, the father's house was Achimota. Farthest. Like it's far away. It's Achimota. Yes. In Accra. Yes. So we are talking about Cantonment's Ridge, airport. This one. 25 houses starting from. And the farthest is Achimota. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Receive a good father from heaven in Jesus' name. Which father are you receiving now? Are you receiving God as your father, your heavenly father? Hey! Charlie! Yeah. He says the Holy Spirit is in your life to let you know. Yes, to let you know that God is your Father. Yeah. You must know how much God loves you and how much God prefers you and how he doesn't joke with you. You have to know it. The more you know it, the more excellent your life becomes. So I just want to show you some benefits before we close. What will happen to you if you are conscious of the fatherhood of God? Number one, you will be filled with all the fullness of God. You will be filled with all the fullness of God. You will be filled with all the fullness of God. And that is priceless. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 to 19. You will be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul is praying for the church in Ephesus, and he prays that God will grant them, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Then he prays that Christ may dwell in your hearts, in our hearts, by faith. Christ is in us, okay, in our spirits, but he wants Christ to have control over your heart, which is the place of your imaginations, the place of your thinking, the place of your... The heart is for two things. It's for thinking and for speaking. So God wants your thoughts to be dominated by Jesus Christ, and he wants your speech to be dominated by Jesus Christ. Just imagine if your thoughts was dominated by Jesus Christ. Man, you will not think about some things, innit? I don't know what you're thinking about. But you wouldn't think in terms of lack. You see, the fact that every time you want to know the price of the thing, you want to know the price. And the price of the thing, when they mention the price, that is what determines whether you can or you cannot. Until you are talking in terms of get it for me. And not what's the price? Did you ever see Jesus asking for the price of things around? Is it CD or USD? Jesus was not asking those things. Or last year saying. Teso mami. Hey! One of our brothers was telling me yesterday that he was talking to a certain rich man, you know, and they were doing some calculations about some things and saying, oh, we are trying to reduce. He said, don't talk about reducing. And don't say the word cheap around me. I don't want cheap. Don't say that. Just buy the thing and let's go for it. Hey! Hey! Jesus needed a donkey to ride on into Jerusalem. He didn't ask for his price. He just told the disciples, go into the town. You see a donkey, untie it and bring it. A donkey and its child. Untie them and bring them. If anybody asks you why you're bringing them, say to the person, the master has need of it. Wow. He says he wants Christ to have dominion over your heart, over your thinking, and over your speech. Jesus didn't have any sense of lack and need. There was nothing. He asked them, where can we buy? Where can we buy for all these people? Then the guy said, even if we use a whole year's wages, will not be enough to buy for these guys. Yeah. That is thinking about how great the problem is. You see, the problem is so great, nothing can solve it. Yeah. What I'm saying is in John chapter 6, right? Yeah. Maybe you can read it for yourself when you go. But what I'm trying to say is that after this, in Jesus, John 6, verse 10, go to verse 10. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. Go up. Go to verse 5, right? Verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? Where can we buy bread for all these people to eat? Look at the response. After this, he said to prove him. He wanted to just check what he was thinking. For he himself knew what he would do. He knew what he would do already. Yeah, next verse. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread. Charlie, let's read a lighter version. Pennyworth of bread. We don't understand. So Philip replied, even if we worked for 4 months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them. We wouldn't have enough money to feed them. For months. Next verse. Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Next verse. There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and two fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd? So he was looking at the supply that he had, how the supply he had, what they had was too small to solve the problem. Do you get it?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. See, oh, the money is too small. Wow. Jesus himself knew what he would do. He gave thanks, the thing multiplied. You have to develop that type of mindset. God wants you to have that type of mindset where you don't think in terms of lack. You think in terms of how big your Father is. Can you think in terms of how big your Father is? Your Father can do anything. Hey. My Father can do anything. My Father can do anything. My Father can do anything. I have 50 Ghana. What is it? What can he do? He can't do much. In my hands, he can't do much. But in my Father's hands, he can do a lot. In my Father's hands, he can do a lot. That's why we give offerings. That's why we give offerings. I was telling some people, sometimes it's left with my last amount of money. But there's an amount of money I give to God every Sunday. And I would want to make sure that is done. Because the Bible says that you have robbed me both in tithes and in offerings. Not only in tithes. Some of us give tithes, we don't give good offering. Meanwhile, our offering is what we sow into the ground every week for supply. So you can be giving a tithe of, let's say, 500 cedis and be giving an offering of 2 Ghana cedis. And the offering you have given, the 2 cedis you have given, is the seed you have sown into the ground which you are going to be harvesting from. You will reap multiples of 2 cedis. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when money is coming, it's like money is coming in multiples of tens, not multiples of hundreds or thousands. And you are wondering, it's because you've not given much. Hello? Your offering is your seed in the ground for the week. Hey. Ayeshi. Has become hot. Did he say you've robbed me in tithes only? Well, a man robbed God, yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have you robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Not only in tithes, you only know tithes, you don't know offerings. I know that in my hands, the money is not much, but when I hand it over to God, it will multiply. There was a day I had 2,100 Ghana cedis in my account. 2,100 cedis. And my offering is supposed to be 2,000. Every Sunday, Sunday after Sunday, minimum. My minimum is 1,000 or 2,000. So I decided that, listen, let me just give the 2,000 to God. That's my offering. That's what I've covenanted with God to do every Sunday. So I have even though I have 2,100 Ghana cedis, and I don't know what I'm going to eat after, let me just hand it over to God. Because in my hands, in my account, it will remain 2,000. 100. But when I release it to God's account, it will multiply. So I release it to God. I gave it to God. I gave my 2,000 to God. After the service, someone came to give me 2,000. Another person gave me 2,000. Another person gave me 5,000. By the end of the week, I was having about 30,000 already. Sunday to Saturday, I had 30. You are jealous. That's why you are not clapping. I have to open up to you. Maybe you don't know. Yeah. In my hands is small, so I'll give it to my God. In his hands. They gave it to Jesus Christ. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. In his hands. He blessed it and he multiplied. So if you are being chiches with your offering. Do you know chiches? Chiches is management. I'm doing calculations. Excessive management. If I give this, what will happen? Will I go hungry? Trust in the Lord. You'll be surprised. I don't think you like what I'm saying. I don't know. Yeah. You'll be shocked. Yeah. One of the ways to increase financially is to decide that, listen, God, I'm going to be giving you this amount every Sunday. And I want to have that amount every Sunday to give to you. Thank you for the supply. You release that every time. You'll be surprised. If I give 2,000 to God, what I have noticed in my life is that if I give 2,000 to God on Sunday, within the week, I'm sure to get about 20,000 in the week. It's like I give 10% of the 100% that is supposed to come. And the 100% shows up. By some mysterious way, I don't know. I'm a pastor, so I don't do business. I don't have any business anywhere. I depend on people giving to me. Yeah. Even this morning, someone has given me 10,000 cedis. This morning, right now, just this morning. I'm just coming from some place. When I was leaving, someone said, oh, Bishop, thank you. I want to give me an envelope. 10K straight. Do you want some?
Yeah.
I can give you some after service. So you to ask you, as you are faithful with God in what He's giving to you, you'll be surprised that some business contract, something, you're a business person, you have some calls coming in the course of the week. You work in a place where they employ and give you 2,000. You'll be surprised that you will get more than the 2,000 you are paid. Someone will come to the office and release an envelope for you and say, thank you. Haven't you seen some before? They'll come to the office, you do what you are supposed to do for them. Then they'll say, well, I want to thank you. I'll give you 500. Someone will come and give you 200. By the end of the week, you see that you have more money than your pay. Yeah. Learn it, you'll be surprised. Stop robbing God. You can't rob God. You are robbing yourself, actually. Or you are giving your tithe, and your tithe is not a proper tithe. You receive 10,000 cedis. 1,000 cedis belongs to God. It's not for you. What would that 1,000 do for you? And you decide that you are going to spend that 1,000. You spend 500 and give 500 to God. Later on, you find 500 and give to God. And there will never be a later on. It never is. You will not even remember that you are owing God. Hello? You will not even remember. Has it happened to you before? Yeah. Just give. Let me tell you a story. One day, I was in church, and this was Alpha many years ago, maybe like 2017. I was sitting in front. I just finished preaching, and we're coming to give offering. Then the Spirit reminded me that I have not given a tithe that I'm supposed to give. So I remember, because I had forgotten that I had not given it already. So I remembered. I said, hey, let me just release it. Now, that amount that I was going to give was going to empty my account. But I mean, it's not for me. It's for God. So I just gave it. When I gave it, you see, when you send your money by your account, you get a text. So when I sent it, the text I received was a text of 10,000 cedis credited to my account. Sunday service, Sunday morning. Yeah. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like instead of getting my debit, I got a credit. Because as I was sitting, I was asking God, it's like this week I've not received money at all. That was what I was asking after preaching. I said, it's like this week I've not received money at all. The Holy Spirit reminded me that have you forgotten that you are owing? You have not given this amount. You have not given this one. I said, I'm sorry. I repent. And when I gave it, the text I got was 10,000. The person who gave it is in this chair, sitting here right now. 10,000. Into my account. Yeah. The person, I don't know how come, but you see, the person had decided to give me something, but it wasn't coming because I had not released. I'm owing. I had to sort out my debt. And then it's a shock. Credited. Before later, I saw the debit of what I had given. Yeah. No more what? No more armed robbery. Yeah. Guns down, guns down, guns down. All guns down. Listen, God loves you too much. God loves you too much for you to be walking in lack. No. 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 He doesn't want you to walk in lack. He's able to supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ. Make sure you are honoring the Lord. It says, honor the Lord with your substance. Honor the Lord with us. Don't give an offering that you give to someone on the streets. Do you see? What you give someone, does a person buy food for you? Does a person give you breath to breathe? Does a person help you? Is a person the one keeping your kidneys? Who is holding your kidneys? Yeah, there are a lot of kidney problems around now. Why is yours intact? It's just a mercy of God. lot of people with heart problem. Young people, heart pressure, whatever, this one, issues. Issues. You are sitting free, happy. It's the doing of the Lord. You should honor the Lord. Or what do you think? Yeah. Honor the Lord. With your substance. It's so important. Give it to the Lord, it will multiply. Okay? Hello? Is it good information for you? Yeah. But the fatherhood of God, being conscious of the fatherhood of God, causes you to be filled with all the Spirit, the fullness of the Godhead. Next week, I'll talk about that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Rise up upon your feet and thank God for what you have shared with you.
God bless you for listening. We pray that the Word of God will be rooted and grounded in your heart as you give attention to the Word. Kindly follow Pastor T and Love Economy Church on all social networks for more of God's Word. Don't forget to subscribe to the Pastor T podcast. Simply search for Pastor T on any podcast app, plug in, and enjoy God's Word. Visit our website at loveeconomychurch.org for more information. God bless.